JC Corcoran Podcast.
Two businessmen from Switzerland have created a beer specifically for the homosexual community.
Ah, really?
Have you heard that?
Oh,
yeah.
The
beer is called Queer Beer.
Queer Beer.
And it's marketed by their company called Lemonhead.
That's the
Lemonhead
company.
Yeah. So now we have a beer for homosexuals being brewed in somewhere in Switzerland. So what were the top 10 list tonight is top 10 slogans for the new gay beer.
I see.
Because...
That's it.
It's not enough that it's gay beer. You have to have a catchy
slogan. Yeah. I wonder how gay beer would differ from, heterosexual beer.
I have no idea.
Okay.
All right, now.
The band has a few suggestions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think. I can't repeat
I probably
that.
Better not know.
No.
Top 10 slogans for the new gay beer. Here we go. Number 10. For guys who don't like Bush. Number 9.
Never has there been such a reception for the 10th item in the top 10 list.
Yes. All right. Number 9, cold as a mountain stream, gay as a picnic basket. Number 8. Number 8, for all the gay stuff you do, this beer is for you. Number 7, made with the finest gay hops and barley. Number 6, toss one back and while you're at it, have a beer.
Again. Toss one back. I have an idea.
No.
I don't want to think about it.
Number 5, the perfect drink for spending the afternoon watching Trading Spaces with the guys. Number 4, come out of the closet and head for the mountains. Number 3, wreck your liver and your marriage. Number 2, drink until you can see straight. And the number 1 slogan for the new gay beer, the queen of beers. There you go.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
13th of October, 2021, here at JCOnTheLine.com. How you doing? I know exactly where I was on this date 35 years ago today. The year was 1986, and I had, I should actually back up this story going all the way back to 1984. I was sitting in my apartment in Buffalo, New York, and they have these things called blind box ads in the industry newspapers, in the radio industry newspapers. And I'm sure they have these things in other industries as well. And so you pick up your trade paper, and it's a thing called Radio and Records. And everybody in the business reads it. And I had a subscription, and I read it too. And I was sitting there in Buffalo trying to get the hell out of Western New York. And what they do is they list a description of the radio station that is looking for talent, depending on what day part, you know, is it a morning show, is it an afternoon show, is it an overnight show, whatever. And in this particular case, all it said was a big Midwestern rock station is looking for a funny sort of avant-garde morning radio show. But they don't tell you where it is. They don't tell you who it is. You send your material to a blind box, and then that box forwards it to the specific radio station. And it's done this way because, you don't want to tip off your competitors. You want to tip off your own people. I mean, there was somebody doing the morning show already. And you don't want that person to be thinking, hey, they're going to replace me here. That's that. You don't want to do business that way. So I sent the material, and I sort of forgot about it. And one day I get this call from a consultant in California. And he says, well, the radio station, how do you feel about St. Louis? And I said, well, I've never been to St. Louis, but I am from the Midwest. And so you know, I'm not really crazy being this far away from home. I'm way out east here. I'm getting further and further away from my home, to quote Bob Seger. And yeah, it sounds like that might be fun. And it turned out, of course, to be Casey. So they fly me in to St. Louis. And the first look I got at the radio station, I almost just got back on the plane and went home. I'm serious, because that place on Watson Road. See, a lot of you grew up with it, so it seemed completely normal to you. But for somebody coming in from out of town and seeing that place, it was quite shocking, because it looked like some sort of a hut where you store rakes and brooms and maybe a lawnmower or something. That's what the place looked like. A lot of you only saw it from the outside, or some of you standing at the window, shall we say, conducting transactions. Well, I assure you, inside the place was, it was a dump. It was just a dump. And I thought to myself, well, it's not so much that I have to have some sort of luxurious accommodations. To me, it said more about how the company felt about its employees. Yeah, I'm digging a little deeper here, and I just thought to myself, any company that says, yeah, come to work and work in this dump every day, you just go ahead. Well, I was assured that because a new company had just purchased that radio station, that they had big plans for expansion and into a beautiful building, and all that was right around the corner. And so I reconsidered, as you know, ended up staying, and the rest is history. Well, it took a lot longer than they told me, but yes, finally, on this date, exactly 35 years ago today, this was all engineered out, and I had, I guess you would say, the surreal task at 7:45 a.m. on Wednesday, October 13th, 1986, at 7:45 a.m., as was the plan, the U-Man and I shut the radio station off there in Crestwood. We said at 7:45, we'll talk to you in 15 minutes from our new home at Union Station. Click. And for 15 minutes, KC95 went silent. That's a long time for a radio station to be off the air. So we go running outside, and there in the parking lot of the old Route 66 drive-in, there was a helicopter waiting for us, and we went running outside. We jumped onto the helicopter, and it flew us downtown. It landed just outside of Harry's there, the parking lot there at Harry's on Market Street, and then a limo, it's crazy, and then a limo was waiting for us to take us two blocks from Harry's over to Union Station. But, you know, it's theater, folks. It's theater. It's a big thing. And there were hundreds of people standing outside there at Union Station in the annex building waiting for us to come in by helicopter and then limo. And they're all excited. And we went running into the new broadcast facility there at Union Station, state of the art. And we went running in, and there was champagne waiting. And a lot of the people who don't even come in until later on in the day were there because they wanted to be a part of this, broadcast history thing. And so sure enough, we all sat down, we sort of distributed ourselves around the studio, and the champagne was ready to go. And at exactly 8 a.m., the chief engineer of the radio station, John Olkey, who has since departed, he made it all the way to 90. He just passed away about 2 years ago. He pushed the button, which gave power to the new studio at Union Station, and I punched the button for Derek and the Dominoes' Layla, which became the first song played on Casey from the brand new location. All of that happening exactly 35 years ago today. Now, of course, I broke the cardinal rule. I left Casey back in 1986 and went across the street and proceeded to beat them handily for many, many years. And so that was a big no-no. So I have basically been wiped from the ledger at Casey Radio. It's like I was never there. It's funny, KMOX did that too. KMOX, you go through the halls of KMOX, and you go up there, and everybody who ever worked there's a picture there, except for one, and that's me. Funny how I have that effect on people, huh? And where have things gone in the broadcast industry, which of course obviously includes television? I'm about to tell you something that is so weird that even when I read it, I had to go back and say, all right, is this somebody's idea of a joke? It's not a joke. This is exactly what's going on. The technology that exists right now, it's pretty incredible. Radio is really, really easy to do right now because if you got a laptop, a microphone, and an internet connection, you can do a radio show from the moon. So like I mentioned yesterday, we're in Florida now until December. But if I didn't tell you that, you wouldn't have any idea I wasn't sitting somewhere right in downtown St. Louis. I mean, look at television with satellite technology. It's incredible. The TV stations in St. Louis, you can go live from anywhere. They have these little TV trucks now. Before, you had to have these giant things with a big mast on it and a satellite dish. And it was the size of the old bookmobiles that you just come in from the library and come in your neighborhood. Now they get these little things. You don't even know there's a TV station in your neighborhood because the thing is so unobtrusive. And, you know, on the networks, they can just throw a switch and this guy, all right, now let's go to Iran. And there's a guy standing there in Iran, and it just looks like he's down the street. You know, in the old days, and I'm only talking about 20, 30 years ago, you would lose satellite signals all the time. Now, you almost never lose a signal. You know, sometimes you'd be watching the guy, and all of a sudden, he would just disappear, or the sound would go away, and that hardly ever happens anymore. So digital technology has allowed things to happen that couldn't happen even 3 or 4 years ago. Well, listen to this. Even if you've never been inside of a television station, you've probably seen videos, maybe on the Oscars or something like that, when sometimes they will take you into the control room. Or if you ever watched David Letterman, especially in the early days, they would send a camera into the control room with Hal Gurney. Now, the control room is given the name because it's where all of the technology exists and where the director is, you know, calling out, all right, ready, camera two, take two, ready, camera three, take three. All right, follow Dave, go with the handy cam. And then on the Oscars, sometimes they do that too. And you hear, all right, go to commercial in 5, 4, 3, 2. And so you see that. And it's a guy sitting in a very dark room and they've got all of these television monitors all over the place. And they're on the other side of a piece of glass from where the show is actually going on. And so, like I said, it's called the control room because they are in control of all of this stuff. Well, there's been an undertow of activity in the broadcast industry in recent years called centralized programming. And if that sounds ominous, it's because it is. And it basically means that big companies who own hundreds of radio stations or dozens of television stations are trying to consolidate what they do. When I worked at Clue, and this was, what, 15 years ago, I would say, now time for the news. And the news was coming out of Cincinnati because that was the home office of the company that I worked for at the time. They owned the radio station, and they had a big, big operation with lots of employees. And they said, okay, starting Monday, you're the newsman in St. Louis. And, of course, the guy mispronounced everything. And so what they did is they sent him a pronunciation guide. Here's how you say Creve Coeur. Here's how you say Emos, not Imos. As far as I know, the guy never opened the goddamn thing because he still continued to make these flubs. And it was terribly embarrassing. You're trying to do a show on a radio station. You're trying to have credibility. And you got a news guy who doesn't even know. But they did it anyhow because then they could eliminate a position in St. Louis. And obviously, not only a salary, but also benefits. And you see where I'm going with this. A couple of years later, I worked at a radio station where when I said, okay, here's Phil Collins and Genesis, and would punch the button for the song to start, that song was actually playing off a computer server 1,500 miles away. A far cry from just a decade or so prior to that, where you would sit there with a CD or before that, an album, and you would put the needle on the, you know what I'm talking about here. But much like the line in Jurassic Park, just because we can do it doesn't mean we should do it. Here's the new idea, and apparently this is going to go into place very, very soon. When you watch Fox 2 and KPLR, which are owned by the same company, it's an out-of-town company. Remember I was describing that stuff in the control room where the director is sitting there going, all right, get ready here. We're going on the air with the news in 5, 4, 3. All right, opening theme, hit it, go. Cue John Pertzborn, go. And then he starts talking. He goes, ready, camera 2. And all this sort of stuff. All of that now is going to be happening at that company's home facility in Indianapolis. So you're going to be watching programming on Fox 2, but all the camera shots, all the microphones, everything on the video screens, all the stories, all of that stuff is going to be run from a TV station 4.5 hours away from St. Louis. As they say, what could possibly go wrong? And now this.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Star Trek's Leonard Nimoy.
The story this morning about William Shatner, there was some talk about Shatner possibly being interested in one of these civilians being shot into outer space. Leonard, I guess people would think that because of your background, you must be really, really interested in outer space and space.
I have promised Bill that if he goes off in outer space on one of these shuttle rides, I will be there to wave to him as he goes.
No, in other words, you're not getting on that damn thing.
No, I'll wave to him as he flies by.
JC and the Morning Show, Graham.
As we speak, they are showing video of William Shatner climbing into the spacecraft, and that whole thing is going to be ticking off. Well, depending on when you are listening to this podcast, it either already happened or it's about to happen, or it didn't happen. How's that for covering all my bases? But, all right, William Shatner, he's going into outer space. Tony La Russa is going home. White Sox were blown off the field 10-1 last night. The Houston Astros and the Atlanta Braves have advanced to the next round of the Major League Baseball playoffs. The Cardinals have officially parted with Carlos Martinez and Matt Carpenter, so that nightmare is over. John Gruden also lost his Skechers sponsorship, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have cut ties with them, too. They have that thing that goes around the rim of the stadium with all of the famous players and coaches who have played. They have, a lot of stadiums have that. A lot of college football has that, too. And they're taking his name down from that, too, even though Gruden had really, really good years coaching the Tampa Bay Bucs. He's done. There's a motions hearing today in the Rams versus St. Louis case. The trial begins January 30th. Stan Kroenke and his boys have lost every one of these appeals and motions and options, and they run out of options, basically. I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, he's running out of options, and this does not look good for Kroenke. He's going to have to fork over some serious dough at some point. In addition to this being the 35th anniversary of Casey's move from Crestwood to Union Station, it is the 36th anniversary of Vince Coleman getting ready for a Major League Baseball game. The World Series. What the hell is that? Ouch! The tarp got him. To this day, that's something that if you wrote that into a movie script, they would say, this is just too implausible. Take this part out. The fastest guy on the team gets run over by a tarp going 2 miles an hour. Come on. Nobody's going to ever believe that. But it's exactly what happened. Oh, and speaking of sports again here, this is why you should never allow people. This has nothing to do with male, female. It just has to do with don't let general assignment reporters and anchor people try to do sports. Leave it to the people. I heard somebody on KMOX yesterday something say the score was 35-0. You know, stuff like that. It's just not the way you say it. You have no credibility when you do that. This is a lovely woman, Kay Quinn. I've known her for years, but come on, Kay.
Kind of an unpleasant conversation. Kay, let's send it back to you.
You know what, Frank? This just adds to the drama that Max Scherzer from St. Louis is starting in this game. I just, you know, it's kind of hard to get your mind around it.
It is? Can't get your mind around the idea that a guy from St. Louis is pitching for the other team? Sort of happens all the time, Kay.
You're so right. And I have to ask, Frank, how did you get on the field?
What?
Well, I thought you'd be outside in a parking lot.
Up until... Yeah, they're okay. At 5:30, we got to go, so our 6 o'clock live shots will be outside.
How did you get on the field? You're a sports reporter. Frank, I have to ask you, there's people in uniforms running around all over the field. How did they get out there? All right, now let's go to our reporter at City Hall to find out what's happening in today's government news. How did those people all get in that chamber? Let the pros take care of it, okay? Let the pros take care of it. All right, birthdays today. Donald's daughter with Marla Maples, Tiffany Trump, 28. Himesh Patel, the star of Yesterday, great movie about the guy who wakes up in a world where nobody's heard of the Beatles. Great film. 31 today. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, is 32 today. Sacha Baron Cohen is 50. Nancy Kerrigan, 52. Kate Walsh from Grey's Anatomy, 54. Jerry Rice, legendary NFL receiver, 59. Marie Osmond, she's a little bit country, you know, 62. John Ford Coley, as in England Dan, and John Ford Coley, 73. Sammy Hagar is 74. Paul Simon is 80 today. That would be one of those interviews that's on my bucket list. People always say, if you had the opportunity to interview anybody, who would be? People always say the Pope. Who cares about the Pope? I want to interview Johnny Carson. I want to interview Curly Howard. That's the guy I really would have wanted to interview. But Paul Simon would be on that list, too. You know, we had Carrie Fisher on a couple of years back, and she was talking about how, you know, they were high school lovers. They were together forever. They got married. Just didn't work. Carrie Fisher, of course, holds nothing back, and she didn't on that day either.
You know, Paul Simon, your ex-husband, had been on 60 Minutes, and he's being interviewed, and near the end of the interview, he's talking about everything and sort of reveals the fact that even though you guys were not together anymore, that you were the true love of his life. I'm sure you saw that. You weren't together.
I didn't. When the hell was that?
Well, it was on many, many years ago, but I mean, it was after your divorce, and I thought to myself,
maybe we'll get back together.
Well, we all know what went wrong in each of our first marriages, and there's a couple of people in the room, present company included, that had a first marriage. Didn't work out. We think we know after years have passed why it didn't work out, and because you're celebrities, people always wonder about that. Do you have, with the passage of all this time, any reasons that you think that that did not work out?
Well, we were two flowers, no gardener. No one was minding the relationship.
Brilliant.
You realize people are going to steal that one.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, it didn't help that I was taking drugs. That couldn't have been a lot of fun for him. You know, when I was really young when we started together, he was like my high school sweetheart. I was 21. So we were together for about 12 years. And we were either got along fantastic or just, you know, not.
No middle ground.
Not fantastic. But, you know, we were the same size. I used to tell him not to stand next to me at parties because we'd look like salt and pepper shakers. And if we'd had a child, it would have been so short, we wouldn't have seen it till it was three.
What a wild child. What a wild child. Absolutely love her. Oh, yesterday we did a story about Smash Mouth being drunk on stage and yelling at the audience and cutting his show short. Yesterday he said he's retiring from show business because who cares? All right, the premiere of Dope Sick on Hulu today. This is a miniseries about how America got addicted to OxyContin. Michael Keaton is a doctor duped into thinking it was safe for his patients, and Rosario Dawson is a DEA agent trying to shut it down. That's on Hulu starting today. Late Night, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Nicole something, the director of The Last Duel. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's got Billie Eilish and Zach Galifianakis. Seth Meyers, Sarah Snook from HBO's Succession, and there's Rosario Dawson again there on with Trevor Noah. The new trailer for the Scream movie is out. You can check on the internet for that. The movie comes out on January 14th. Sorry, Bridgerton, Squid Game, now Netflix's biggest TV series ever. It's already been viewed by 111 million accounts. There's another trailer up for something called The Shrink Next Door. It's from Apple TV. It's a series starring Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd. That is, let's see, the trailer is out. The show hasn't started yet. And Eddie Van Halen Memorial Plaque has been unveiled in his hometown of Pasadena. Here, you know, I hate to see this happen, you know, because you got Eric Clapton, who's really skated off the deep end. I'm not sure what to make of him, but, you know, we know that Eric had made really sort of bigoted and misogynistic and homophobic comments in the past. And now, you know, he's a big anti-vaxxer and just thinks the whole COVID thing is bullshit. And it's like, all right, we're going to have to say goodbye to Eric Clapton. Well, now Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger are fighting with one another. Paul McCartney called the Rolling Stones, and this is a quote, a blues cover band, end quote.
Now those two are going to start fighting. I really don't want to see it. In David Bowie's estate, planning a posthumous album for his 75th birthday next year. Shortest press conference ever yesterday afternoon as the coroner stepped forward and said, okay, Gabby Petito was strangled and it was a homicide. We don't know anything more now in terms of useful information. In a new survey, 32% of parents said that pandemic-related costumes are not a good idea for Halloween. It was number 5 on the list of offensive costumes behind obvious stuff like Holocaust-related costumes, anything blackface, Holocaust-related costumes, number 1, followed by blackface, anything with the Confederate flag, anything with transphobic costumes. Pandemic-related costumes were number 5, with 32% of people saying it's offensive. These could include things like wearing hazmat suits or dressing as a virus or a vaccine. Basically, you don't want to be mocking a tragedy that's killed so many people, but some people would probably find it funny. Cultural stereotypes next on the list, followed by controversial figures, overtly sexual costumes, homeless people, and religious costumes. As for the sexual costumes, this was a survey of parents who are thinking about their kids' costumes. Adults are probably still fine doing the sexy cop, sexy nurse thing. Expedia just released its annual travel hack report, and they've got some pretty specific advice on how to save money on flights. The best day to book is on a Sunday, at least 21 days before you want to fly. Rates start going up around 3 weeks before a flight, so they say the ideal time to book is 4 to 5 weeks in advance, and you can save an average of 5% on domestic flights or 10% on international if you buy your tickets on a Sunday. They also looked at the best days to fly. In general, you'll pay less if you fly later in the week, meaning Wednesday through Saturday. They claim trips that begin on a Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday tend to be the most expensive, and January is the cheapest month to fly in the United States, while June is the most expensive. Here's something you don't want. Well, we have cats, and when we are getting ready to go on a trip, you put the suitcase on the bed, you open it up, and you start stuffing in there. And you turn around, you come out of the closet, and there's the cat sitting right in the middle of the suitcase. Well, a Texas couple was flying to Las Vegas earlier this month, and when they got to the airport, they opened up their suitcase, and their dog was inside the suitcase. They didn't know what to do. A Southwest agent offered to babysit the dog. And a study at the University of Rochester found that women who suffer a concussion might have a harder time getting pregnant. Researchers tracked about 250 women who ended up in the ER for various reasons. Around 100 of them had concussions, all from car crashes, and those women were 76% less likely to get pregnant over the next 2 years. They're not even sure why it happens or even how, but they weren't surprised. Previous studies have found serious concussions can mess with your hormones or even affect menstruation. And there might be a psychological element, too, because concussions often make people depressed. A record 4.3 million people quit their jobs in August. That's about a 2.9% chunk of the workforce, and it marks the highest quit rate since the report began in late 2000. And an anti-vaxxer changed his mind on the COVID-19 vaccine after a spontaneous 3-hour discussion with a neurosurgeon at a bar. The anti-vaxxer says he'd already done hours of his own research online, but that the doctor was able to help him sort out what was fact and what was fiction. Okay, doc, now do that about 60 million more times. Have a nice day. Mark Harmon exiting NCIS after 18 years. You might want to keep grandma away from any sharp objects. And today is National No Bra Day. So let them fly.
I love baseball and boxing, messing around with tools, six packs and wrestling and smoking a pack of cools. I love watching Steve McQueen, movies on the Late Late Show, and push-ups and jumping jacks. Don't you know what I really, really love more than anything? Our boobies, boobies, boobies in the morning, boobies in the spring, boobies in my face, boobies are everything, boobies.
And with that, we say thanks for listening to the Wednesday, October 13th edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com. We publish Monday through Friday at about 7 a.m., absolutely free. We archive everything, so if you missed anything, don't worry about it. They're all here. You can email me at jc@jcontheline.com, Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Thanks to our technical wizard, Everett Marshall. Talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.